Amen. Thank you, Brother Ray and Vicky. What a blessing. And, you know, I'm just grateful that we have a God that we have a God that's optimistic. He's a God of hope. And, you know, for us as Christians, you know, you hear that song and it is just so upbeat. He takes us to higher ground. And if we keep our eyes upward and set on Him, then He gives us a joy. He gives us a peace, as it says in His Word, that passeth understanding. And that's just an amazing thing. You're going through something and you think, how come I have peace in my life? It's because of God. And He gives us a peace. And what a wonderful thing. So we have a wonderful God of hope. And I'll tell you, just, I don't know, if I wasn't saved right now, I'd kind of be pretty discouraged. I'd kind of be a little bit down when you take a look around and you get a good eye, just a good eyeful of what's happening. That can discourage anyone. And it can even discourage God's children. You know, the Lord talks to us about coming unto Him. And I want to bring up a message today, and we'll turn to Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to bring this message of come unto me. The Lord speaks about coming unto Him. So we'll look at Matthew chapter 11. I was talking to Brother Corey here just a little bit ago, and you were saying, was it Zayden that they just won? Was it a tournament or some conference championship in basketball? So congratulations. All right. Nice job. Amen. Don't you wish that were you? I mean, you're all looking ahead. Amen. I wish I was young again. I could run around on a basketball court. All right. For me now, it's just like cornhole. Cornhole. That's my sport. Cornhole. Don't have to run. You just have to have one good arm. That's all. All right. Matthew 11, and we're going to look here. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is probably somewhere in His second year of ministry, and He is in Galilee here as He ministers to the multitudes. And He had healed lepers. He had healed a man who had a withered hand. He raised a widow's son back to life, and He healed the centurion's servant here, just more recent here. And yet, through all of this, there were still very, very many that did not receive His message or His mighty works. Doesn't that just kind of blow you away when you read through the Bible and you read through the Gospels, how many heard and saw the things that the Lord had done and they didn't receive Him, they didn't put their faith and trust in Him? It blows me away. And I think about people nowadays that, you know, they hear about the things of God, you tell them, and it's just not there. And I mean, praise the Lord that our eyes got opened, amen, and that we came to trust Christ as our Savior. So we take a look here at verses 20 through 24, and it says, then began He to upbraid, to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Boy, what a scathing rebuke upon these cities. And then he says in verse 24, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. So he's talking about those cities, Bethsaida and Capernaum and Chorazin. And he just lays it right out to them. And so he reprimands and he upbraids them, as it says in the passage, for their attitude of unbelief and of pride. And now he's going to continue on here as he is going to speak here in verses 25 through 27. So let's read through those verses and then we'll have a word of prayer. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and we're grateful for the opportunity to be back in church, and thank you for those who have been away, maybe with this COVID, maybe with some other reasons. We just thank you for this morning to see some familiar faces that we haven't seen in the last couple of weeks. And so we're grateful for your blessings and for recovery, for your healing hand. And we do pray for others that are still out there that are still trying to get over this. We pray for your hand to be upon them and help them. We had some this morning that were brought up. Estella had a request for some individuals that are dealing with COVID, and Lord, we think of Sharon Borning, who's in the emergency room with the after the fall that she had, and we pray that you'd help her to heal up and be with Leo and strengthen them, and then we certainly pray for others as well. But thank you once again for the opportunity to be here. We pray and ask for your hand of blessing upon all that takes place. We pray that as your word is opened, that you would bless it. We want you to be exalted and lifted up. We want to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want to do, Lord. I don't want to get in the way, and I don't want to hinder or obstruct you in any way. So I pray that you'd be able to work through my voice and speak to our hearts. You know the needs that are represented here this morning. And then we also pray if somebody's here without Christ, that you'd work in their hearts and show them that they need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we thank you, and we praise you, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we just read verses 25 through 27. The Lord Jesus Christ, he gives thanks unto the Father. And that's just amazing in ourselves, because this Sunday in Sunday school, we heard about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is one God, and yet he's manifested himself into three persons. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And here you have the Son, who is God, God the Son. God manifest in the flesh. But he thanks the Father. And he thanks the Father for the wisdom and the discernment that he gives to those who will receive it. And he calls them babes. At the end there of verse 25, he calls them babes. Not in the sense of being immature, but rather in motive and in attitude. Now, Paul said this to the church at Corinth in chapter 14 and verse 20. He says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding." Okay? In other words, there are parts of us that need to grow and mature and not be childlike anymore. But he said, there's another part of you that should remain like a little child. Amen? Because the Lord even said that. We're to be like little children. And he says, "Brethren," in 1 Corinthians 14:20, "be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice." You know, when we have those wrong, evil intent, malicious attempt, intents toward others, "howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." You know, little children, they just really, now there are exceptions, we know, but really children are wired in such a way, and they don't really hold grudges. They get over everything really quickly, and they don't have a heart that's malicious in that way, at least. I mean, I know of a few. I think they lived in our home at times, right? No, but at times, we have great kids. So he says we're to be like little children. And so he thanks the Father for that. So now the Lord will give us a great spiritual truth. He is looking for a humble and a grateful spirit. He wants to see that in his children. When he sees that, what he will do is he will give you and I a key that will open up this truth to us. And boy, I want to be a part of things. You know, when something's being handed out and everybody's getting something, you're like, well, what about me? Don't I get one, right? Don't we do that in the family? Everybody gets one and there you're left out. It's like, what did I do? And so the Lord wants to give a key to every one of us, and we want to be a part of that. So now we take a look here. And let me just read verses 28 through 30, and we'll get through the whole thing, and then we'll go back and we'll go through this, as I want to talk about these last three verses. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a great promise that is. I'm sure this passage of Scripture is familiar to you and I. If you've been saved for any length of time, this, I'm sure, sounds very familiar to you. The Lord speaks about coming unto Him. And that's the first thing I want to bring up, is that He says, come unto me. Come unto me. You know, the Word of God is filled with invitations from our great God to look unto Him for numerous things. There are passages upon passages that we could speak of. I'll just read a couple of them to you. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1 says this, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." This is the Lord speaking. "Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." The Lord says, come, I've got much for you. I've got an abundance for you. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." God says, just call unto me. I'm going to show you some great things which you can't even imagine. Isn't that great that God does that? That God would care about us and that He puts out that invitation? The Lord Jesus Christ did so in John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, when He said this, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters." What a great promise that is. The Lord says, if you'll come unto me, I will give you living water. And he that thirsteth, he will quench that thirst. He's such a good God. The Lord is all the time calling for us to have fellowship with Him. He wants us to walk with Him. He said to the church at Laodicea, In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," He says, "I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me." The Lord says, I want to have fellowship with you. The same kind of fellowship was when you sit down and you have a meal together. I want to just have that fellowship with you and I. But this seems to be really, that's a challenge. And I'll put it, and I'll just go across the board, because really I think it's a challenge for everyone. It's one of our greatest struggles, just simply coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because folks, we find ourselves distracted by a thousand different things. And probably we are living in the age when there are maybe the most distractions ever. And especially for us who live in America, we just have distractions upon distractions. I mean, whether it's a Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever it might be, you know, we can watch a movie and, hey, let's come watch Frozen 2. Okay, yeah, we'll be there, you know, and it's about getting together, and we like to play games and we do that, and it's just like, you know, sports and entertainment. There are just so many things out there, and the Lord's wanting to have us have fellowship with Him. And He's wooing us, and the Spirit of God is wooing us, and we're like, I will, Lord, but right now I'm watching America's Got Talent, and this guy's going to jump from 50 feet into a bucket of water. I've got to see this. That didn't turn out well for that guy if it was a bucket of water. Man, you go into a restaurant, and you see two people seated at a table, and they're talking, but not to each other. They're on a phone, right? Or they're texting somebody. I heard this recently that teenagers, and I'm not just picking on teenagers, it happens with older folks, but I think it's mostly with teenagers, they spend nearly 30 hours a week online. Now, that's not true of everyone, but that's an average. And I think that's probably, that might have even spiked up with this last year that we've had. And listen, those that are older, that would be every one of us. We have our own particular things that occupy us as well. Amen? There are things that just pull us, and they take us a direction that, hey, listen, it's not wrong to go those directions, depending on what it is. It's just when we take it to a point where God doesn't want us to, then it becomes really more of an idol than anything. Let's take to heart what the Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 6, verse 31. He said unto them, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." He said that to the disciples. Let's just pull away and let's find a place where we can rest. It's good for us to do that. It's good for us to make that a regular habit in our lives. Let us learn to listen to His voice as He calls out unto you and I, "Come unto me." And He says it to us over and over. Now I want us to take a look at that next phrase that we see. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. This morning He's speaking to you and I that are burdened. We find that this life can be burdensome. Amen? It's just part of life. I mean, there's just a lot of troubles that come our way. You don't have to convince me today that people are burdened. The amount of people that take antidepressants is only increasing more and more. Now listen, I understand that there are times we have to be on some medications, and it's you know, it's necessary and it's needful, but there are a lot of medications that are out there, and I think of medications, you know, when you think of antidepressants, I mean, you know, Prozac. I mean, these are all called SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. All right, and we see them all the time. If you watch any amount of TV or watch a commercial now and then, you see things like Prozac and Lexapro and Paxil and Zoloft and Celexa, and the list goes on and on. And I'll tell you what, they are just all too common. Many that take these medications, though, folks, many times it's even teenagers all the way down to the age of 12, and maybe even less than that. It's just a sad thing that we're seeing in our society. I'll tell you the thing that worries me the most, though, it's the side effects. Man, they give those side effects like really fast speed, and you're like, did I just hear death? Yeah, I think that's what they just said. Listen, they aren't advertised on TV because nobody is using them. When the Lord spoke about the signs of the end times, and He said that, that's exactly what he said, men's heart would fail them for fear, really certainly makes application for today. Amen? Yeah, there's a lot of things to be concerned about, a lot of things to be, you know, I'm not discouraged or I'm not fearful, I'm just fairly overly concerned. That's what I am, right? Right, Brother Sherman? We're just... So what is the Lord saying to us? The Lord is saying, He is saying to those of each and every one of us who work and toil and are weighed down, to come unto Him. Galatians chapter 6, I love these verses. In chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, in verse 2 of Galatians chapter 6, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Yes, the Lord wants to bear our burdens, but you know what He also says to every one of us is to learn how to try to bear one another's burdens. You know, I see a lot of that happening when we just get together. When we have our men's prayer on Friday morning and we talk about things and we talk about some of the things maybe we're going through and we pray for one another, when we pray for others, and we do that here at Sunday school, and before we get into the lesson, we have prayer. What are we doing? We're reaching out and trying to bear one another's burdens. When we reach out, and I hear so many of you reach out and sending a card to somebody or texting them or messaging them some way in some fashion, what a blessing that is, because I hear it from folks, wow, there's a lot of people that have reached out to us or said something, and that's a blessing. And may we just continue to do that on a regular basis, is learn to try to bear one another's burdens. He wants to take all that you and I needlessly place upon ourselves and put it upon His shoulders, the burdens that we bear. It's learning to go to Him and trust Him. He says in 1 Peter chapter 5, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The Lord loves us and He cares for us and He wants us to take our burdens, and just in prayer and talking to Him is just to lay them at His feet, to put those things on His lap, and the Lord will take those things and ease our burdens. It says in Psalm 55 and verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Isn't that a great promise? He will sustain you and I. He is speaking to his people in this passage, but he also calls out to lost men and women. It says in John chapter 6 and verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, he wants to take that burden of your sin, and he wants to just take it away and wash it away with his precious blood and give you a rest. Isn't that what he gave to us when we got saved? He gave us this wonderful rest, and we have that rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, Christian, we are in a battle, amen? And we have things before us, and sometimes we get tired in the battle. I heard a lady who said that she was so tired that she felt as though she had been ironing all day in high heels on a low board with a cold iron. Sometimes that's how it feels, huh, when we're going through some difficulties and through some trials. It just seems like Satan is trying to wear us out. That's what he says he wants to do. He wants to wear us out. If we'll learn to come unto the Lord, he will revive us. What's the passage in Ephesians that we're to be renewed in our spirit? Always. That's not exactly how the verse goes, but that's what that's saying. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Every day, and as we come into his word, as we come in prayer, then God will quicken us and he'll strengthen us. Let us learn how to give him our burdens and take the yoke that he has for us. He says his yoke is easy, folks. Verse 29 there, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He says in verse 30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What the Lord gives to us, he never overburdens us, but he gives to us what we can handle. And that's why when we go through something, he never gives us more than we can handle. And we can go to him with that promise. And that's a good thing to know, that it's just assuring that our God loves us and he cares for you and I. And then finally, I want us to take a look at this last thing there verse 28, the last part of that. He says, and I will give you rest. That last thing, I will give you rest. God wants to give us rest. Quite often we'll see on a tombstone in a cemetery, rest in peace. But brethren, let's not wait till we die to find rest from God. We don't have to wait till then, because he promises to give rest to his people. And I want us to take a look at Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to continue this message next week by transitioning to this passage in Hebrews chapter 4, but just for a moment here, I want you to turn there, and I want to read the first 11 verses. Because, folks, he promises to give us rest right now. So he says this in verse 1, Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. We don't want to come short of that or fall short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now he's speaking about a group of people that didn't accept that. They didn't receive that promise. They didn't receive that promise of rest. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, he's talking about there were some that didn't enter rest, and he goes back to chapter 3, and you see that he's referring to that generation of the Jews that didn't put their faith and trust in him and didn't get to go into the promised land. Instead, they wandered out in the wilderness for 40 years, and they didn't get that rest. And spiritually speaking, we can find ourselves in that same place, where because we don't put our trust in him and we don't look unto him, we don't end up having the rest from God. We can be saved and not have the kind of rest that we're to have from day to day. And that only comes as we look unto him and trust him. And that's what the Lord Jesus is saying. He says, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let us labor to enter into that rest. That's a kind of an interesting little statement that we're to just simply rest in him. But he says, let us labor. Let us make the effort to learn to focus on him, to learn to trust him in every situation, in every setting that we find ourselves, just learning how to trust him, and then he'll give us this rest. We have this rest in Christ, certainly. Positionally, we are in him, and we have eternal life, and we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever, and we're going to certainly experience a great rest throughout eternity. But we can have it right now, and we don't want to be absent from that in this life that we live as a Christian. And it's certainly God's desire and his will for us to be able to have that rest. So next week, I'm going to follow up with this follow-up sermon here in Hebrews chapter 4, and I'll talk about the means to that rest. And let me just read those first verses. I won't touch on them today, but I'll just read them and say, this week, read through Hebrews chapter 4. And this is what I'm going to bring up next Sunday morning, the means of that rest that he wants to give us. It says there in verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We see the word of God right there. That's certainly a big part of our rest. Then he says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Folks, we have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus, who intercedes for us. That's a great means to our rest. And then he says that we just need to come before the Lord. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, some of you just said, well, I got the outline for next Sunday. I guess I don't have to come. No, there's a whole lot more than just that, okay? So I want you to come and be a part of that. But he gives to us the means of our rest. So now he says, as we get back to Matthew chapter 11, he says to us again in verses 29 and 30. Let me read those verses again. Verses 29 and 30, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a great, great thing. Folks, this is what we, his people, need to experience in our lives today. Not for our sakes. Certainly it's great to have that and to experience that, to be able to have a peace and a rest as we go about from day to day. But primarily and foremost, it is really for the cause of Christ that we would have this rest. And people can see when it's real and when it's maybe just painted on. But people will notice something about your life. People will notice something about my life if it's truly rooted in Christ and we walk with him. They'll see something different in the office, or they'll see something different out on the work site. They'll see something different about you and I if we're truly just looking unto the Lord, and without even trying, we just have this rest, because that's really how it's supposed to work. Not trying in the sense that we're not making an effort. No, we're getting into the book, and we labor to enter into that rest that way. And we make sure that we spend time in prayer, and we labor to make those means happen. We get into those things. But then as we just go about our day, the Lord just blesses that. He blesses the fact that we're just trusting in him. And we go about with a smile on our face and we don't even know it. And somebody might look at it and say, well, what are you so happy about? I didn't realize I was smiling. Maybe I should put the frown again. No. But we have this smile, and that's an open door. Amen? You say, well, I'm smiling because, you know, God's got all of this. And I know Christ is my Savior. And we have opportunities. Amen? But we want to do it because it's for the cause of Christ. And we want to do it because it's for His glory, for a testimony that would bring honor unto Him. People need to see Jesus Christ in you and I. And when that happens, those opportunities open up before us. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, and we went through 1 Peter, and it says this in chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, having your conversation, and your conversation just doesn't mean your speech like we would think it is. That's kind of what the word as we think of it is, but in the old English meaning, it means everything that, all of your body language and everything that comes from you, your mannerisms, and certainly your speech as well. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they might say some things about you because they don't like the fact that you're a Christian. They may say some things behind your back, but yet they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know what that's saying? That when they actually see that, wow, that really is a good person, and there's something about him, and when something goes on in their life, that's saying that some of these folks will come to know Christ because of your example, because of your testimony. God will work in their hearts and through opportunities to witness. That's how people come to know Christ, certainly through His Word, but also through the testimony of God's people. Amen? But let me say this, there is a great byproduct to all of this, that we can experience great joy. And I mentioned just a little bit ago, to have that joy and that peace and that rest, the way that the Lord wants us to enjoy life. He said this in John chapter 10 and verse 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The Lord wants us to enjoy life, and He wants us to be full of the things of God. And when we're full of God, when we're filled with the things of God, we're just going to enjoy life. It's just the way to live. In 1555, that's a long time ago, in 1555, Nicholas Ridley was burned at the stake because of his witness for Christ. On the night before his execution, he denied the request of his brother's offer to stay with him through the night. Instead, he chose to go to bed and sleep as he always had, because he knew the peace of God. He could rest in the strength of his great God. I don't need to have somebody's company. I just want to have the company of God. Amen. And I'm just going to rest in Him, and I'm just going to sleep like regular, and I'm going to wake up and be joyful, and then I'm going to go home and be with the Lord. Boy, what a way to go, amen? What a way to go. Now, I ask this question to you and I. Do you and do I have God's rest today? Do we have that rest? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. How many of us need rest? We all do, don't we? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I'll say this before I finish up, is if you're here today, and I've mentioned and alluded to you just a little bit ago, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, the greatest rest that you can have is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross. The Lord Jesus is God. He became a little baby. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. And then when He went to the cross, He took all of our sins, were dumped on Him. And He became accursed for us. He didn't know any sin, but He became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's a great thing that He did for us. If you're here without Jesus Christ, He did that for you. And we want to encourage you. We would beg you, or as the Bible says, beseech you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says we're all sinners and that we've all fallen short of God's glory, and Christ died for our sins. God in His love and His mercy died for you today, And he was buried and rose again. And the Bible says, if you'll just call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him for salvation, he will give you eternal life. And that's what he did for every one of us. Now, for those of us who know Christ, my brothers and sisters in Christ, if God's spoken to you about maybe just learning how to just trust him, how to be in this word, I speak about it a lot, but boy, we do need to be in this word. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it just be on our hearts. And may we just put some verses as we go through the day and let them just bounce around in our head and meditate upon them. And you know what? You'll draw strength from them. And make sure to spend time in prayer. And next week, we'll talk about the means of that rest there in Hebrews chapter 4. But with that, I'd like you to bow your heads. And we'll have Vicky will come and play. Brother Ray's going to come, or Brother Jason's going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation. And with your heads bowed, maybe God's spoken to your heart today, Christian. Let me just ask you this question with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. How many of you would say, Pastor, would you please pray for me? This life can be so unsettling, and it's so unsettling for every one of us. We certainly can fall into this. I certainly don't bat 1,000 with this. But maybe you would say, right now, I just seem like, I'm out on a troubled sea, and I don't have the rest that maybe I should have. But would you pray for me today that God would help me to find rest, to learn how to come to him? God bless you. There's a number of hands that are raised. Yeah, there's, you know what, we all go there. And there's a number of your hands that are raised. You know Christ as your Savior, but maybe there's some things that are hitting you. And it's sometimes it's easy to lose that rest. And so I just encourage you to bring that before the Lord. Maybe it's up here at the altar, or just make sure to spend time while you're sitting there in your seat, or sometime today, get with the Lord and just learn how to respond to that invitation when he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he says, I will give you rest. That's a sure proof promise that God gives to us. He will give us rest. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, then I want to encourage you to come. And we'll have somebody here through this invitation. If you step out in the aisle and come up here toward the altar, we'll have somebody that'll show you from the Bible how to be saved. Because we want to see that in your life, that you would trust Christ as your Savior. With that, let's pray, and then we'll sing a hymn of invitation. And I hope that we'll respond as God would want us to respond today. Father, we thank you. We're grateful once again. What a blessing it is to be all together. Thank you for those who have maybe been out for a while. Now they're back here. What a wonderful thing that is. We pray that you'll continue to heal up some people. But Lord, thank you for the promises that you give to us. You love us. Your word says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? We don't even understand why you care that much about us, but you love us, and you died on a cross for us. And now we belong to you, and Lord, you put up with so much in our lives, and yet you continue to invite us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And Lord, how often I've taken you up on that promise, and you've given me rest. And you've done that for your people here time and time again. And maybe there are some right now that are struggling. Lord, I pray you'll help them. Help them to just look to you to find that rest. And Lord, get back maybe to a place where they need to be. And Lord, if there's somebody here without you, they've never trusted in you for salvation, I pray you'll work in their hearts and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you once again. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.